Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 552. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Windows 11 is here, guys. This changes everything. Everything.
I will ask you what it changes in a second, but Earl is here.
Yeah, he is here. That's what we're going with. He's in attendance and raid. Perfect.
Earl didn't prepare anything for the intro.
I am perfect.
Damn it, Earl.
I am prepared tonight. I am on this. I've been prepared for a week. I got my documents. I got my words. I got my things. It's all good to go.
Things?
Yeah.
Got my things. Jeff is here.
He's got his things, too.
Every time I kill, I'm transcending.
Every time I haunt.
That's what Windows says, too. It's the same thing.
Every time Windows kills, it's transcending.
That's right.
What is Windows killing?
The previous version of Windows. It's a massacre.
That's not bad. That's fair.
I've got Windows 95 on my hands.
All right. Yeah, we're here talking about games and stuff because we played some.
You could speak for yourself.
I played games with all of you people this week. I know you played some games. Yeah, we played some Zombie Army 4, continuing on with that. And Jeff and I have been playing the hottest new release of the week, Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance.
Oh, God.
Yeah. When you say hot, do you mean like it's so hot you don't want to touch it because it's going to burn you? Is that what we're going with in this metaphor?
I mean, it was just the highest profile.
Is it hot like the garbage, the dumpster fire, like that hot?
No, so it's not that hot. It's like warm, maybe.
Is it hot? Like you tell your kids to avoid if the adult supervision is not around?
No. No. So okay. I think we need to kind of explain some stuff here. So reviews came out. Jeff was monitoring them before release, and they were not good.
Yeah.
But Jeff and I have put I've put a lot of time into it. I think Jeff is further along than I am as well. So he's put a lot of time into it.
Yeah.
It's not a good game, but it's fun and it's not as bad as those reviews made it out to be.
Yeah. It's not. I guess just kind of echoing what you said. It's got a lot of problems, but it's not like I would not rate it as low as a lot of people did, including like some of the major publications or sites or whatever you want to call them. Like IGN, I think, gave it a 4. I would not, based on what I've played so far, I would not rate it that low. I'm enjoying it. Like I don't have like there's bugs and stuff, and it's janky and. Sometimes you'll kill a monster and it'll just like be bouncing against a rock for a while before it slides up and disappears into
the
environment.
That is kind of the best thing. Like, especially when it gets like stuck in the environment and it's bouncing around, that's kind of funny. But there's some like crazy ass ragdoll too. Like when you'll kill a goblin and it will just like fly off the screen.
Yeah. We did the first night it came out. I ran into a bad thing with my friend where we were playing on a higher difficulty than the base difficulty, and we got to a boss and there's like 5 or 6 difficulties. We were playing on the second highest and it was pretty challenging, and we got to this boss. It was tough, really tough. And then the boss got to about a quarter health and my friend was no longer able to do anything. He could walk around. He was like a ghost watching the shit go down. He could not attack. He could not use magic. All he could do was walk around and watch me like struggling to fight this boss. So there's an example of I would say a bug that's, you know, that's
bad. It's a bad bug.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
That's pretty bad.
Not good. Bad. You know. being able to press buttons and then things happen when you press the buttons is kind of important.
The other one that I think is really bad, it's not as bad as that. It's not as bad as being in a game and not being able to effectively do anything. But we ran into this, what, 3 times last night, Jeff, where we finish a level, it just dumps you back out to the main menu, like disconnects your party.
Yes.
Ew.
Like you'll get a disconnect error and it'll kick you out to the main menu.
Save your progress.
Yes. So like,
it's just kind really of an annoyance, but
yeah, it's like, and there's like no loading to get back into the game. Like the main menu is basically you standing there ready to go at your camp. So like, you just hit A, you're back in the game. Yeah, and you're at your camp and you haven't lost anything, but you do have to join up with your friends again. And it does this reliably. I don't think there was a time when we beat a level where it didn't do it.
All 3 levels we played last night, it booted us out to the main menu. And it was happening for you guys the night before as well, right? Yeah.
So, like, my thing is, things like that, and things like not being able to attack randomly out of nowhere, or, you know, big bugs and stuff like that, I think are things that are fixable, right?
For sure.
So if you take those things away, like, imagine there's a patch or two down the road that fixes a lot of these issues. When you're left with the game that's there, if it's, you know, theoretically all working, I think it's a pretty fun game. Like, I wouldn't give it... I don't think it would blow anybody away, or I wouldn't give it a super high score, but it's a fun game.
You folks are doing a terrible job of selling this as something that like, got reviewed for wrong.
This was reviewed wrongly. I press the attack button and nothing happens, but if they fix that...
Yeah.
But it's not consistent.
They haven't fixed that. Like,
that's the thing. It's not, like, that's not the experience for 97% of the game, Tony. It's like...
Yeah,
97% of the time it works. Like, yeah, there's like weird bugs where the enemy gets stuck in an environment and then he shoots off into the sky. Like, it's stupid, goofy bugs. It's the 3% that's really bad, where it's like, you know, it breaks for Jeff Friend and Jeff is left fending off against like 3 bosses on his own, or the disconnection error. But that's like 97% of the rest of it is like, it plays as you would expect it. The thing is, and I don't think either Jeff or I have explained this, it kind of plays like a PS2 game. Like, did you guys play the Lord of the Rings game?
The what game?
The Lord of the Rings, like, third-person action game. It plays like that.
Okay, but, and I'm not saying this to begrudge it, but you're also saying that this plays like a game 3 generations ago.
Right.
Or to put it into real-world terms, 20 years ago.
For sure. That's a thing. But also, a lot of games today still do play similarly. They just look better. Like, there's not been a lot of these type of action games.
Does it look better?
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty good.
It looks way better than a PS2 game. Like, there's some, like, you know, the monsters look pretty detailed. Like, they're pretty gross looking, the Verbeegs, which are like these like kind of trollish goblin creatures. They're pretty gross. The goblins have like some nice detail on them. The environments they're pretty big. Like, we spent this one that has like all these bridges back and forth across, and we're going through like little goblin camps, and I think we spent like 35 or 40 minutes like exploring the entire place, like trying to find all the treasure chests. And there hasn't been one of these types of games, and maybe the reason for that is like there just isn't a market for them. But to be like, this is a bad game and it's bugged, when like something like the Avengers comes out and scores 6s and 7s,
that is not a great comparison.
No, but like where somebody like IGN is like, this is a good game. And then they turn around and go, this, which is a budget game, it's a $40 game.
Right.
Or free on Game Pass.
Or right. You know, included with Game Pass. But this is a B-tier game, like, straight down to the pricing. Like, it's not even, like, this is a B-tier game, but it costs $60. This is a B-tier game, and it costs $40. And, oh no, this is shit. Like, that's basically what I'm getting from the reviews out there for it. And... or like the bad ones. Like, there are a lot of the other reviews are, hey, this game's okay, it's kind of fun, it's also broken, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah, like that's my thing. Like, I can't fault the critics that gave it a very low score, because it's undeniable that there's work to be done on
it. Yeah, there's issues. But
just being honest about how, like, my reaction to playing it is, like, I'm not bored playing it. I'm having fun. I'm like, kind of into it.
I also do wonder, like, and I mean, you guys played up a level. Like, we played on the base difficulty level last night.
Yeah,
and Jeff's a little bit overpowered. We didn't really have any problems with it at all. I'm playing it through it like single player with a different character, and I'm not having, like, it's not tough. Like, you'll get into some situations where it's difficult, but I do wonder if some of these reviewers are like, well, I'm better than like the base difficulty, and they jumped into like level 3 or 4 difficulty. And it's fucking hard, and like the balancing is to the point where it's like it's tough. If you were trying to play that game single player, or even with two people, like 2, 3, 4 levels up, it's really hard because they just give the enemies a lot of health, and you know, there's some weird mechanics in it where you have a stamina bar that'll deplete, and like you can actually deplete it all the way. And if you're not using stamina potions, but it's like, oh, I'm better than this. Like, no, like you should be playing at the base difficulty and going through it before trying to be like on ultra, ultra, ultra hard.
And even going up just one difficulty again, like it gets pretty difficult there. I mean, you could see your power level versus the recommended power level for the difficulty, but you know, I was supposedly strong enough to go up to second level, and it becomes challenging. You gotta be a little more strategic in the combat and stuff. It's not just like you're just rolling over.
Yeah, and it's a bigger jump than say like Diablo, where you move up one level from the base difficulty.
Yeah.
Like it's like jumping up like 3 or 4 levels there. I don't know.
The game itself, like my. Like, again, like, they, imagine they fix everything or whatever. Like, I think my main criticism of the game itself is it feels a little thin on the skill tree side of it. Like, so you start with 2 abilities and then an ultimate ability.
Yeah.
That ultimate ability is, you know, whatever is tied to that character, that's your ultimate ability the whole game. So my character can lay out this, like, giant ring where if you're standing inside it, you don't get hurt as much, and you hurt the enemies more. That's my ultimate.
Yeah, Jeff has the shittiest ultimate ability.
Yeah. But then I have 2 abilities. They're pretty cool.
Yeah. He also has a really cool regular ability where, like, an anvil comes down from the sky and just pounds every enemy.
Yes, and that's awesome, and it's fucking cool. But, like, that's one of my 2 big abilities that I have, right? Like, my magic powers. If you go through the whole skill tree, because you can look through the whole skill tree, which is not that big, the most you're going to unlock is 2 more abilities. So the most you're ever going to get with your character is 4 abilities. And I am level 7 character now, and I have them all. So it's like, okay, you know, you could go a little bit further down the skill tree, and you get, like, more, like, just combat moves, like, you know, press A plus this, right? But, like, I already have all of my big, awesome magic powers. Like, and it's weird. For being 3 levels into the game or whatever, you know.
Unfortunately, I think part of that just, it circles back on the property that it's related to. They're following by Dungeons & Dragons, like, rules.
Yeah.
So, like, with every level, like, you gain, like, what, it's attribute points or something, so you can increase one of the 6 stats. And then there's only so many like moves and powers that your individual dwarf character would be able to get without going deeper into the D&D setup, where like you can cross, you know, you cross class. And these are named characters. They are specific to the Forgotten Realms, which talking with Jeff's friend, like, and I like these characters. I like the books they come from, but I care nothing about this story at all. And like Jeff's buddy was like, this is, there's like so much lore in this, and it's like 3 and 4 paragraphs a piece. and it's like none of it is being read by anybody.
But you say that about, you know, I blame the fact that the skill tree is so thin on, it's a budget game. Like, because like you play Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, like I'm playing through as like the magic character in that.
But why is it a budget game?
Why is it a budget game?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's not a question for you or Chris to answer necessarily, but it feels like one of those things where like, I get the excuse, but it's also like, it's not like, I can understand if it's like a new IP or something. It's D&D.
It is
everybody on this podcast.
It is a budget game because...
Wait, what is D&D?
Dungeons and Dragons?
never heard of it.
Exactly.
Explain this to me.
There you go. There's your answer. I don't know.
Yeah, I honestly, I think that this is a game that was kind of, I mean, it was announced, what, a year ago, but it's kind of been dumped out there by, like, Wizards of the Coast. Like, they didn't give it a budget, basically. It's like, here's what you have, get it out. Like, that's why it's a budget game. Like, this game could have gotten the AAA treatment. You know, it's Dungeons and Dragons. It's a spiritual sequel to, you know, a pretty big property from the PlayStation 2 era. And it stars four of the Forgotten Realms, like, most notable characters. Like, there's, like, a 20-book series with Drizzt Do'Urden, he's the elf character that I'm playing, Jeff. There's, like, 20 fucking novels out there starring him. Like, they could have given this a budget. They chose not to. Like, but yeah, I don't think Jeff or I could really answer why they didn't give it a budget, Earl. But they just did not. I think
it does seem a weird choice because this is like a Dark Alliance. It's legendary, right? I mean, there's a reason Jeff brings it up like every week.
Yeah, the old ones were not budget games. The old ones were pretty. Surprisingly good at their time, like, you know.
Wonder if Wizards of the Coast is looking at how Games Workshop kind of operates with Warhammer, and like there's some really good Warhammer games out there, but there's also just like there's like a new Warhammer game every week. There's like a new $20 Warhammer game.
It's an over. Like it's an overutilized universe. Yeah. Like I don't think Warhammer is as popular as the number of games that we get for Warhammer.
Absolutely not. Like Dungeons and Dragons way more popular, but also not as represented.
Which is so odd. And it used to be such an overrepresentative property. There used to be so many Dungeons and Dragons games. RPGs up the yin yang, and now hardly any.
This is what, like,
and they're all bad. That's they're all bad. Like, you look, there's this one. There was one a couple of years ago that was also bad. And that's all we've gotten.
There was that one on Xbox 360. I remember. Yeah.
Daggerdale.
I'd say this is better than, like, I don't know. Like,
this is better than Daggerdale.
Yes,
I think so. Yeah, I don't know.
Daggerdale was also a $20 game or $15 Xbox Live Arcade game. But...
See, like, I'm in a weird frame of mind about this because part of you is just like, why would they not just do Dark Alliance 3, like, and just make it like the old games? But then, in a way, it's like, well, Diablo's kind of got that covered now. And this is like something different. That's it is fun. Like this style of game is fun, and it's still kind of the same thing. It's just you're moving the camera behind the character, and it feels more like an action thing than, you know, just running through a dungeon and, you know, tapping A or whatever. So there's part of me that's like, this is filling like a similar but different niche. Why couldn't this be better? It's still good. Like, I don't want to give you the impression that I'm just defending this because I wanted to like it. Like, I was very, very worried when I started to read the reviews, especially, like, those, you know, these detailed reviews that would go in specifically to everything that was wrong with the game. I'm like, oh, man, this is just going to be like the most disappointing experience ever. And I really like, maybe the reviews like set me up to like justify expectations, because like I'm like, yeah, there's definitely flaws, but I'm still like, let's play another level. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting to an end of the level and going, well, that fucking sucked. Let's never play this again. Like, it's.
You should.
I don't know. I mean, I you know, played three levels with Jeff last night. I played like six or seven levels on my own outside of that. I put some time into it. I'm having fun with it. It's also not something that, as Jeff said, we don't have like a lot of games like this out there. Like,
there's even less of like whatever this is than the Diablo-like games, you know, at some point.
Right, like, there's Diablo, there's Torchlight, there. Like, what's the other one? Are all Pillars
of Eternity?
Yeah.
And you had, you know, in the interim, you had stuff like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, X-Men Legends. Like, this is a genre that has, I think, thrived more than, like, the 3D co-op action game. You know what I mean? Like, it's, like, again, it's really just kind of moving the camera to a different spot and making it feel more like you're playing, you know, Dark Souls or Lord of the Rings or something. It's still, like, structurally the same thing, running through a level, getting the loot.
Yeah, that's what also what I thought was funny. I read some reviews and they're like, this is nothing like that. I'm like, did you guys play like the original Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance? Because like, all right, yeah, perspective is different, and like you knew what loot you were picking up, which that's a weird change here, where like you get loot and it's basically goes to a, it's like picking up engrams in Destiny.
Where oh, no.
You have to get them.
They'll tell you, like, you got a legendary Destiny.
Right, hold on. I'm going to go delete this game off my hard drive before I play it.
It'll tell you, you know, you got a legendary axe, or you got a legendary ring, or you got a common whatever, right? Like, so you see, you have an idea what you picked up, but you cannot do any of your character leveling or equipment changing in the game. You got to wait till you go back to camp. Which I get why they did that, like, because I think I was telling you guys, like,
yep, deleting right now. Hold on.
When I'm playing with someone, like when I was playing those old Baldur's Gate games, two players, you don't know how often I would interrupt the action because I wanted to fucking look at my character and go, oh, what was the shiny thing I picked up? And it's like, they're probably just like, yeah,
Jeff, let's get out of the pause menu. Stop it. Goddamn it.
I played with somebody that was exactly like Jeff, like meticulously like reading the stats on everything. Is this one better? Is this like, man, I just want to like go kill some more kobolds.
Like, for me, it's like,
and I get it.
That's the fun of the game, is looking at this fucking menu.
I have friends like that, and I love them to death, but I'm also just like, we don't need to spend like, honestly, even if it's like a minute, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm just like, I will do this during our free time when we're not playing. Like, I'll come back and equip better gear.
It's
as long as we're not getting beat to death, I'm like, I don't care what gear I'm wearing.
They
relegate it here to the camp between levels, which I'm like, all right, that makes sense. And it's kind of fun when you get back to your camp and it's like, bling, 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 bling. Here's all your shit. Like, you know, there's like also a tally screen when you beat the level where like adds up all the fucking damage you did.
Okay, that's
different.
And it has
like all three of you sitting there, and it's like,
yeah, I don't hate it as much as I hated it like 5 minutes ago. I hate it less now, Jeff. I like it slightly more.
The tally screen is fun too. It's like, well, it like pops up and it'll go like, all right, like you had the most kills and it gives you a point for that. It's like, oh, but Jeff killed the most like big enemies, so he gets a point for that. You picked up the most
like
gold,
Mario
so you
Party
get a point.
At the end of a fucking...
And then it makes a determination like, you are the winner this round.
Yeah,
like you're the top companion. It's like that's
and
like,
it just gives
cool
you
thing.
That.
Do you get anything or just
get
a
no? It's just
it
you
win.
Get like it's like a little like, hey, I was the best one.
It gives you that like casino serotonin response too, where it's just like ding 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 ding, and you're just like, oh yeah, look at all this shit, like showing you like all the gems you picked up. Like the tally screen goes on for like a good 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a little too long, but it is fun.
I mean, you can skip it, I think, if you want. I don't know, man. Like it's again, it's like hard for me to go, if you think this game sucks, or, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I understand. Like, that's fine. Yeah.
That's your opinion.
I'm just giving you, like, my honest reaction. Like, if I thought I hated it, I would just say, like, it's I fucking hate it. But I'm like, no, well, it's got problems.
But Jeff, with you, we always have to, like, wait a week. So if next week you're like, I still like it, I'm fine.
Next week
there's
harsher...
also that chance where you're like, this is the fucking worst. I hate it. Blah,
I have a feeling next week you might hear me saying, you know, like, sticking where I stand on this game, and I might be coming in ugly on Mario Golf. I don't know. I'm feeling another Mario Tennis on the horizon.
I God, oh, no. I hope not.
How Anyways, this, like, I, not to derail it with the, Mario,
the thing with
Mario Golf.
Yeah, the thing with Mario Golf and different from Mario Tennis is that at the very least, if once you complete, you know, the disappointing campaign, if it is disappointing, at least there's, like, different courses and there's different ways of approaching it. Tennis is always tennis. Doesn't matter what court you play on.
Yeah.
Tennis is still tennis, which is great. I love tennis, but, like, there's a little bit more going on with the golf game, I think.
Yeah. And, we'll and I could not – I think we've discussed this before, but I did not – I got, like, not far at all into Mario Tennis's story mode. Because it was just one level where they wanted you to hit the ball in the specific targets the whole time. I'm like, I guess I'm not good at tennis because I can't fucking do that. Like, I'm just running to the ball and hoping to hit it somewhere. Fuck, like, I'll put, like, you know, I'll push the stick where I want it to go. But, like, I cannot on command, like, on demand, like, hit this target over and over. No way, dude. I'm going to miss. And so I got stuck on a level and I'm like, I guess I'm done with the story. I tried it a bunch of times. And it was like the second area.
I find tennis very relatable in the fact that, like, I mean, there's what, two types of shots? There's a drop shot and a that really tend to be fairly accurate if you're in position for them. Not like if you're racing for the ball, it's different. But I've always found that, like, tennis is very easy to kind of navigate if you know exactly what type of shot you.
I guess, but I can't do that 30 times in a row for you. I'm going to fuck up. And so, like, I was just like, I gave up. Like, I'm confident I will get through the golf mode in this game, no fucking problem. Like, I think I have a better handle on golf, too, for whatever reason. Like, just because I think I play more golf video games, more complex golf video games. I think I'll be good on this. Anyways, I don't know.
We'll see about Mario Golf next week because I think we're all playing it. So
yeah,
I don't know
I'm still
if we're
getting
all playing it, but
is everyone here getting it still? Like I'm getting it.
I don't know if it. I prefer tennis. Like, honestly, in my hierarchy of Mario sports game, I think golf is third. It's behind soccer and tennis.
There
was one really good Mario Golf.
It is a shame that they have not done another Strikers game.
I feel that way, but at the same time, I also think they've been much more productive at doing Luigi's Mansion than they have at doing Mario Strikers. I feel like Luigi's Mansion at least expands the universe in a different and unique way. Though I love Strikers. I mean, I adore Strikers. Wait, can I put Strikers on my game, the Hall of Fame nomination?
I believe it is before.
It is before 2006. Yeah. Yes.
Are we sure? Yeah.
Wait, does it have to be before 2006?
Has to be 2006 or before.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yes. That can't be Mass Effect.
Last year was 2005. Yeah.
Can't be Mass Effect 2. What?
No, Mass Effect 2. It
can't be any Mass Effect game.
Damn it.
Next year you can do Mass Effect.
And damn it, I am. I'm gonna do it. It's gonna happen.
Mass Effect 1.
Mark it right now. It's happening.
I think that's not gonna happen. So
what?
Because Mass Effect 1 isn't that great.
Do you think I'm lying? Do you think I'm lying to you right now?
I'm sure you aren't lying. I'm just saying that, like, we can ixnay it.
Never.
But we can get to that in a yes. bit.
Yeah.
I'm being Earl for the Hall of Fame.
I just do look at, like, you know, tennis is, you know, pretty popular sport, golf pretty popular sport, but soccer is literally the most popular sport in the world. Like, and they've done
that
well.
Is fair.
Besides curling,
too.
Don't forget curling.
Curling. I love to watch curling in the Olympics. So.
It's soothing. It's I like it. Like watching them scrub that thing. Yep. Scrub it. But, do it.
But yes, I
is this some weird like fetish, like some ASMR thing going on?
It's like so like it's just like relieving to watch.
Dude, did you ever see like not to even go on an even weirder tangent here, but like sometimes I'll see like ads on like Facebook. It'll be like remove blackheads, and it'll show someone like ripping a fucking like strip off their face with a bunch of blackheads on it. If you go into the comments, every fucking comment is someone going, "Oh, this is so fucking satisfying to watch." I'm like, "What is this sick fucking like?"
I can't get behind that.
How did you get from curling to that? What is this transition?
There's people
going in
that
your
got
head?
Really weird things that like satisfy them, like where I'm just like, I don't understand. And that was something I saw like 2 days ago or something. I was just like, "Ew, why is every comment on this about how like?" Super satisfying it is to watch fucking blackheads get ripped out of a face.
Yeah, I can't get behind that. I could definitely get behind watching people play ice shuffleboard with like brushes. Like there's something weird about like that whole thing and them running down the ice with these little brooms and it's really just shuffleboard. I can't watch people pull out blackheads. That's gross. No,
that's a little weird.
I ASMR worked for me, but not curling.
Not okay.
But you know when you listen to ASMR, so they do like brushing sounds for you. Yeah, that's fun. You guys should try it out sometime. You might like it. It sounds like you guys might be candidates for the ASMR.
It sounds like you're a big fan of it. So
I love ASMR. Right. I actually
I think
do
Jeff
really love
is.
It.
Yes,
I do. It's always worked on me.
I don't get it, but it works.
Oh. Well, like, you know, I had experienced it before, like, it was, like, a thing on YouTube and shit, but I never knew what to call it or whatever, like, certain voices would, like, make my hair stand up on my arms, like, I never, you know, I never had a word for it, but now I do, it's ASMR.
Okay.
Alright.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll be back with more Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance next week.
And kinks, apparently, so...
Yeah, and you know. Kinks. Yeah, and more kinks.
ASMR is not a like sexual thing for me. Like, I know...
It sounds like it is.
It's not at all. Like, it actually...
Everything is a sexual thing for Jeff. Come on.
It's like it's just like either a tingly sensation, or it can, like, help you fall asleep.
That's what I've always associated with is like it's just this soothing thing.
I mean, you guys have had your hair stand up on your neck or your head before, right? Like you know that feeling.
Yeah.
It's your body having a response to certain sounds that gives you that feeling.
But like I don't know. I've always associated ASMR with like something soothing and relaxing, and like that feeling that you're describing is more like a almost like a tense. Kind of like creepy feeling, I think.
I mean, it does both, and it's also depending on what the what the audio is or whatever. Anyways, that's one of my weird kinks.
All right, well, good to know. you guys play anything else this week?
Not anything new. I mean, you mentioned zombies.
Yeah,
I did. I did start. What is it? Halo Combat Evolved Remastered with a friend this week. That's the first time ever they're going through Halo. So I want to introduce them to that because they got an Xbox and they've never played Halo. Like that seems so weird to me. That is going.
not well. Or
it's going. I honestly did not know. That you could piss off the NPCs enough that they would actually start shooting you?
Wow.
I didn't know that was a thing that was possible.
Your friend needs better aim. What are they doing?
I think they were doing exactly what they were intending to do. There was the one level where I forgot what I did. I either looked away at the screen real quick or something. And it was like the start of a level where like it said start of the level would introduce the sniper rifle. And he's like, I'm trying to learn how to use the sniper rifle. I'm like, why are our NPCs mad at us? I'm like, he's like, oh, yeah, I need to learn how to aim it. I'm like, you don't shoot our partners. but and it's one of those things. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it was like one of those TV shows where it's like, oh, you skip the first season, but like you watch season two onwards. It's like Parks and Rec or The Office or stuff like that. Because I don't really care for Halo 1. The level design is really piss poor.
How far in are you guys?
It's really hard to know where to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
like
is.
Sometimes you just wander around and make, oh, there's enemies that way, so I'm going to go that way. And that's that.
How far are you guys in, Earl?
We are, where did we go? We finished the, I think we're on the fourth or fifth mission. So we're on the planet, and I think we just got the drop. It's the level after you fight the hunters for the first time in the space. That was another thing, because I didn't realize that you fill that mission if you kill the NPC that you break out of jail. And I'm like, why am I dying? And then I realized my friend had killed the NPC twice. So that NPC dies, it's an automatic autofill. So it's very fascinating to re-earn a game that I've played several times before for the first time. But I will say for the most part, they seem to be getting the grasp of the controls and the layout. So that's well. I would also say, as somebody who's recently played Halo 5, which makes sense because it's the most recent one, you also forget how many it's sometimes easy to say like a sequel is very similar to another one. And I think Halo, if you go from like 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, it's hard to see the changes. Go from 5 to 1, you right. really see how the franchise has changed in that time, though. Just like, there's no running, the pistol actually does something, the ninja does something too in the first game. There's health packs, which I always forget about the first game. It's like the only one that uses health. No, ODST uses health packs as well. Master Chief is the only character. So you just get duplicates of Master Chief. Instead of like other games, you get multiple different characters and stuff like that. The fact that you can use more vehicles, because like we came across a Wraith. We came across several Wraiths. You couldn't use them in the first game. There is the swords. You can kill them, but you can't pick up their swords. Like, again, if you played 5, you got running and you have like the shoulder tackle, which also helps curing gaps. I think Melee, I didn't realize how bad Melee was in the first game. Like, you really, really have to make sure you are aimed at the enemies, and not like later games, it's just kind of like, yeah, we're going to count that. It's whatever. For enemies, PvP is a bit different. But yeah, I will say it's very fascinating to go back to that. And on that same note, I guess, into going back to early 2000s, late 90s games, I also started the Sonic Adventure. Because I don't know if any of you checked it out. Sega held a Sonic Symphony for the Sonic 30th anniversary yesterday, Wednesday, as of this recording. And it was just like, it's like music from all the different like May 9 Sonic games. And I've been having an itch to play the Sonic Adventure games, because I think Oyu and I would play them on the Dreamcast. And I was just like, I don't know, I got in my head to replay them. They're on sale on the Xbox Live right now. It's $2.50 for Sonic Adventure. I think it's $4 for Sonic Adventures 2. So I picked them up. And honestly, my first thought was, at some time, a long time ago now, like Sonic Adventure was considered like, not the peak, but it was considered like state of the art. It was considered like, this is what gaming is. And I started it up as like, why did we ever think this?
I still remember seeing the first level of Sonic Adventure at this guy's house in high school.
But the wheel, right?
Yeah, it blew me away.
Yeah, I vividly remember the wheel chase from Sonic Adventure, and like all the advertisements and stuff. That was the big thing they showed. And it's a really great set piece. And like now I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's like one of those, it's not like, the controls are wonky or whatever. Like, the game's still fine. And my biggest pet peeve with it right now is, like, the overworld. Because you have to, like, navigate. Like, it's not like Mario or Banjo where it's, like, just an overworld connected. It's like, okay, you're in, I forget what the main hub is called. Now you have to take the train to make Mystic Falls, and then you have to find the exit, the entrance to this, that, and the third. And then there's like six main characters you can switch between. I'm like, yeah, that's too much work. But yeah, it was just one of those things where I'm just like, this was, I just could not get it over my head. Like, this was considered state of the art at one point. Like, the graphics, the sound, the fact that I think it's the first Sonic game that's fully voiced. Even then, like, going back to it, it's like you could tell like they've replaced Sonic and Eggman since then. But it's like one of the things, and I'm like, there, like it's sadly still better than some of the later 3D Sonic games in terms of like how he controls and stuff. But it's like it's so weird going back to that one.
I mean, maybe the 2006 one. I don't know. I think the 2006 one might be the only one I don't own on Xbox.
Well, I assume the other ones.
I can't do these sales because I've already fucking done this, Earl. I've already done exactly what you're doing.
I figured the other ones, like, you probably, like, I've actually never, like, I don't think I've played many generations. I've not played, what is it, Yoss World?
That one's kind of, like, I gave it a bad review, but it's, like, neat. It's just not Sonic. Like, it's, like, Sonic trying to do Galaxy kind of. And I'm nowhere near as good.
Not paid Boom, and I'm not paid Forces. So
Forces? Dude, buy Forces. I'm sure it's $10. Buy it. Good.
We shall see. We shall see how far I get in Adventure.
Is Lost World out there? Like, is that one you can easily play?
No.
No, I think it's only on the Wii U.
Okay. I saw some that get popped up on my timeline where somebody was talking about it, and it was like, I don't know that
one. It's like,
one.
You're not, you're fine, but yeah, I don't think you could, I would probably buy it again if it was, you know, on Xbox right now, on a sale.
But I'm actually surprised it's never ported to anything but the Wii U.
Yeah, it should be. Forces, though, I'm telling you, like, Forces is not, it's just rough around the edges, it's fucking, I put it up there for the 3D Sonics, dude. I really do. Maybe I'm crazy, but
speaking of Sonic, Sonic Mania is free on the Epic Store. So,
that's a very good game. Did Jeff ever beat that game?
I don't think I beat that. But then again, I haven't beat many of the 2D Sonics. So,
oh, okay. No, I just remember like when you like you were talking about how difficult that was.
I found it to be pretty tough.
It's like if you die, right? Like you have to go back to the beginning of that level, like, and it's the beginning of that act, right? Like if you lose all your lives, I think I remember if you died in that, like you had to go back to the beginning of the act.
So, sounds like it could be, yeah.
So then, like, that gets a little bit difficult because those levels can get a little tough.
Yeah, I know it beat Sonic 2. Say that.
Day one.
I've beat all of the 3D ones I've played, I think.
Okay. The 3D ones are in some ways easier just because it is set up but that was one of the things, like watching the concert, I was just reminded like how no matter how bad the actual games are, and they can get really bad, the music has always been really top notch in the franchise.
Yeah.
And we're getting a new movie, so it's going to be more Sonic.
More Sonic.
Did they reveal anything?
Out to the drive-thru, baby. Take me to a drive-thru.
I'd say Sonic the Hedgehog is better than Sonic the Drive-In.
It's debatable.
It was also really fascinating to think about the fact that, like, and I'm probably bias in this regard, but like I was like, also, yeah, I don't think there's ever been a time where Sonic was better than Mario outside of the music. So I'm like, yeah, like I've played Sonic Adventure and I've played Super Mario 64. I'd rather go back to Super Mario 64 than I would Adventure.
Yeah, it's just a better game.
Yeah, and I think that goes for 2D as well. Like, maybe I could see a case for being like, you'd rather play like Sonic Mania versus like New Super Mario Bros. U or something like that.
I would. Those between those two, yeah.
I don't know. The New Super Mario Bros. U is really good.
I don't like them. I think they're bland. I think you're the one bland. On Wii U is good. Yeah,
that's the one.
That
right?
is the yeah, one on Wii U.
We're talking about.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the 3DS ones. I think they're pretty.
Yeah. The New Super Mario Brothers on the DS and then New Super Mario Bros. 2. I don't think they're particularly great.
But yeah. But the console versions have always been really good.
Yeah, I thought New Super Mario's Wii and New Super Mario Bros. U were both. They're nice. They're fun. They're colorful.
They co-op.
Yep. They're enjoyable. And,
but yeah,
they're not brutally hard like Sonic Mania.
But yeah, I could see people being like, I prefer Sonic Mania, and that would be But like, if you were to like, I prefer Sonic Adventure to Super Mario 64. Or I prefer, like, heaven forbid you say I prefer Sonic 06 to like Super Mario Galaxy. Because those would be the contemporaries. It's like,
people should be locked away.
What if you prefer Sonic Heroes over Super Mario Sunshine? What the?
I mean, that's a possibility.
It's not entirely wrong.
Wait, which one, Jeff?
Sonic Heroes.
The GameCube Sonic game. That was my favorite
GameCube
one.
Only, but
yeah, I will
say this. The Sega All-Stars Sonic Racing, I think it was Transformed.
Yeah,
is better than Mario Kart Wii. They were contenders, so that was the best kart racer of that gen.
Yeah,
would they be contemporaries, or would that have been Mario Kart 8?
Yeah, it feels like
Transformed was on the 360, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I thought it was.
You bring it up against the Wii, then like.
I guess that like, it's one of those one that like, it. I guess it depends because like, yeah, I guess the Wii would make more sense, but it's like 2010, 2011. Because wasn't it like also a Wii U launch title?
I had it on Wii U, so that's why I was like the same way as Earl here. I'm like, wait, that doesn't match up entirely, but.
Yeah, I think 8 is better than Transformed, but
yeah, but it's like, dude, Transformed is
it's very good. Got
really like just awesome shit to it. Like the fucking one, what the fuck is that flying game? What was that old Sega arcade flying game where you sat in the thing and it like Afterburner? There was like an Afterburner fucking track, and you would just like go off of an aircraft carrier, and all of a sudden you'd be a fucking plane. Oh my god, dude, it was so fucking awesome.
Yeah, they had some really cool inventive tracks in there, and you could play as Banjo and Kazooie.
Yeah, great game. Where were we going with all this? Oh, the one thing I wanted to say that I wanted to get back to: how the fuck has Sonic Fast Food Place not had a chili dog tie-in with fucking Sonic the Hedgehog for like their fucking movie or something? Like there should have been.
It's really hard to make a chili dog blue. It really is.
For Sonic chili dog.
Yeah, I guess that would be the problem. It's like, what do you call a Sonic chili dog?
It's the same thing. That's the brilliance of it.
Just it's and
you don't change anything at all. It's just this, but you're saying. Wink, wink. It's the Sonic.
And you put it in a. It comes in a. Like, I don't know how Sonic delivers their chili dogs. But it either comes in, like, blue tinfoil or, like, a blue little cardboard carrier.
Dude. Marketing genius right here. Just fucking being pissed away.
Okay. Those are words.
So. Earl's spending all of his money on old Sonic games.
Good job, Earl.
Somebody had
to. I don't know if it's a good job. I mean,
no, I'm proud of you.
Maybe this pandemic's going on too long.
Got to spend your money on something, Earl.
Do I?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, at some point.
Otherwise, the economy stops.
Earl doesn't spend money, the economy stops. It's all on you, Earl.
Earl's the key. Like, oh, Great Depression, Earl took a week off from buying anything. Fuck.
It's like save the charity to save the world.
That's right.
I apologize if anybody gets that reference.
Why do you apologize? They had a great first season on that show, right?
Yes, actually enough, OE ended in the first season.
Right, why do they keep going? Why? We didn't need more.
What show's that?
Heroes.
I think I watched the first episode and never watched more of it. And you guys are not selling me on a 3-season series. So.
Well, you can just just watch the first season and pretend that it ended there.
I think it's 3 seasons, and then they rebooted it like a few years later with Heroes Reborn.
With different people, right?
No, I think it's still some of the same cast, but some of them became too famous to come back. So, and the ones who weren't too famous, Zachary Quinto, I think, yep. You know, he's done stuff since then. I feel like Hayden Panettiere, she varies. Like, I think there's a time where she was really popular, and I think that's died down since then. I forget if she's in Heroes Reborn. But then, like, there was, Ellie Yater, who was in, she was the second main character in the Resident Evil live action movies.
Yep, she was. She was on something else. Wasn't she on 24?
Maybe.
She's from like right across the bridge. She was born in Cherry Hill.
So you could have been on Heroes, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
You didn't try hard.
You're already my hero, Chris. You don't need to be on the show.
All right. I'll stop trying then. No, she was not on. She was not on 24. I don't know why I thought that. Who's the one that was on 24 and got banned?
You're thinking of Starbucks from, I think, Battlestar Galactica.
Maybe.
I forget her name. Kate something or another, I think.
Suckoff? Katie Suckoff?
Yes, there we go.
I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, and it sounds terrible saying it that way. So,
but she was on 24.
Got it. And, okay. Sonic, we played zombies, played Dungeons and Dragons. And I finished Ratchet. That's a really good Ratchet game. But nobody except Tony has a PS5.
That's right. Maybe I'll play it. Maybe.
Why have you not played the Ratchet, Tony?
I have been busy with other things.
Here's a question. Has Tony played any of the Ratchets?
I've watched my son play some of them.
Okay.
I have not myself played any of them.
Crack in time.
Yes.
Do it.
Fair enough. Like I was just wondering because like it seems
they seem like good games. I don't know. I play lots of things. I can't.
Yeah. Play everything. Yeah. I just it doesn't seem like it's like a huge series. Now is when it's kind of getting some traction, but also nobody has PS5, so
right.
Who knows how much traction it's actually getting? That game is fun. Super pretty. I think I have 2 trophies that I could go back and get. I'm not sure I care enough to go get the platinum, but actually, I guess it's just 1 trophy because one of the trophies is a platinum. So I think it's probably just, I probably just have to go get one more.
Yeah, one more. A little tempting.
Yeah. I think I fucked it up though. It's like I looked up what I had to do to get it, and they were like, don't level up this gun. It's like, well, I already leveled up everything. So it must be harder to do with the leveled up gun. Anyway, that's a fun game. If you have a PS5, there's not much else to, you know, play on it that's PS5 exclusive and new, similar to the Series X. There's just not much that is individually for those two consoles, so take what you can get, and Ratchet's a very good one of those. So
yeah, I would play it if I had a PlayStation 5. If I could buy a PlayStation 5, that would be cool.
So at some point, right, Jeff? Like you just missed out on the Amazon restack, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess that just leaves me with Demon Souls on that machine. But I'm playing Dark Alliance with you, which is definitely more my speed. But yeah, so Mario Golf next week,
and a bunch of demos. And I think we'll have demo. We'll have demos. Yo, the world ends with you. And I believe Monster Hunter Stories has a demo next this week as well. And I think, what is it, Bug Fable, which is the not Paper Mario game, has on Game Pass July 1st. I'm going to check that out as well.
Bug Fable.
Yeah, it's like the original Paper Mario RPGs.
Huh. All right, I'm interested to hear about that one. I don't think there was much news this week.
And imagine why.
Yeah, not sure. As Tony said, though, Windows 11's coming. So I guess that's right. News.
Changes everything for no one.
Is it still a free upgrade? Like, if you have Windows,
They just announced it today. I didn't pay that close attention. So
to be fair, I honestly thought we were already on Windows 11. Like, I can't keep track.
Chris is already upgraded. Yeah. So fast.
It's like, why is they making a big deal about Windows 11? Are we already on that? But and I guess the other thing that I saw, and I think Earl might have an opinion, even if he doesn't have an opinion on the game. Final Fantasy IX is being adapted into a kids' animated series.
Yeah, I am surprised that was the one they picked.
It is the most kid friendly
of the most recent ones.
Yes,
because I'm like, yeah, I don't think it has like a huge fan base where people are like, oh man, I'm super in love with Final Fantasy IX, but it does.
People love 9.
I also think that 9 has the benefit of, as far as I can tell, having at least a defined main character in terms of what people expect from them. Because Cloud is very defined at this point. Squall is very defined and dead.
Yeah, Zidane doesn't really, like, I mean, he's generic thief boy with a tail.
Yeah, Lightning is part of Final Fantasy 13, which people don't love. And Final Fantasy 15 has enough movies and tie-ins that people don't watch anyhow, so...
This is true.
So, hey, it's fascinating that that's the one they went with. Especially being that you would think that, like, if you're going back to Final Fantasy 1, like, I feel like the early Final Fantasies are just so kind of broad enough that you can expand that universe. But
one for sure, like one, you could just basically do whatever you want with it, like, you know, fantasy, sci-fi, mashup, crystals, Garland, and then go. Like that could be your pitch document for it. Like you don't. It's so undefined, like that original one, because there's no real story to it. It's just go here, fight these elemental fiends. And move on. Like 9 has a story. Like it's that PlayStation era. It's cinematic, yeah. RPG. Yeah, I think you're right. Like it could have gone and done something with the earlier ones that maybe have less of a story.
But yeah, we're here. So I'm excited to see how this goes. I am excited. I am very fascinated. But I don't think this was one of the things we talked about with the E3, because there was the Netflix Geek thing.
Yep.
Where they had that day that was dedicated to like video game adaptations, at least from Netflix, where we saw stuff like Cuphead animated series. You know, we found that the Castlevania series would be very now focused on, what is it, Richter? Richter?
Yes, Richter Belmont. It's basically the Rondo of Blood time frame.
Yeah, get. I think there's also a Far Cry TV show anime series that's tied in some ways. But yeah, stuff like that, it's very interesting to see, and I think this is one of the other ones. That also reminds me, I don't know if we'll watch by next week, but the Dynasty Warrior movie comes on Netflix July 1st. So that is another thing that is in the cards, I guess, for the future. I will be there I'll go at some point soon. As soon as I unbreak my website, which is kind of broken right now. So yeah, that's exciting. What else I was going to say? I mentioned the Sonic 35 concert already, which wasn't, I mean, there was no news or anything like it, but it was a really great concert to have with, in regards to just being able to have music from all of the mainline Sonic games in one place. And like I said, the princess has always had great music.
Yep. All right. Well, that brings us to the main event this week. We are going to induct 5 games into the 2021 class for the Hall of Fame.
Let me just say, before we get into this,
stop Mass Effect 2.
To Mass Effect 2.
can we also have a recap of what's already in?
Yes, I can read them all.
So Earl can come up with his nominee.
No, not at all.
So in 2019, we inducted Super Mario Brothers 3, The Legend of Zelda, Tetris, Jungle Hunt, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, StarCraft, Contra, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Ms. Pac-Man, and Super Metroid. At that point, we also decided that if a game from a series gets in the first half, it is ineligible until the follow. Like more games in that series are ineligible until the next year. So. And then in 2020, we inducted Mortal Kombat, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Ninja Gaiden, Sid Meier's Civilization, Halo Combat Evolved, Unreal Tournament, TMNT Turtles in Time, Final Fantasy, NBA Jam, and GoldenEye 007. And this year, we had our first annual March Madness video game tournament, which was won by Resident Evil and not Mass Effect 2.
Not Mass Effect 2, yes. Mass Effect 2.
Fuck.
Somewhere in a, as they would say on NBA on TNT, it's gone fishing. So it will be eligible for a nomination in, I believe, 5 years. So it just needs to hold that hope and show that.
I hate you, Earl. I hate you.
I mean, it is not the Ben Simmons of of the tournament.
It can definitely, you know, hit some outside shots somehow.
It has a chance at some point. So that brings us to our selections. Beforehand, we did get a nomination from outside, which we can yay or nay on. And if we nay, we're going to have to fill that slot with something else. But that was Chrono Trigger. That was nominated to go in from the listener side of things.
Do we have to add RPGs in?
Yes.
We have Final
Fantasy. We absolutely do.
Final Fantasy. We have to let RPGs in? I mean.
Yes.
Yes.
We do.
Yeah, I don't think we can not have them. We've already let one in too, Earl, so we've already set precedent. We've let strategy games in and we've let RPGs in, so
yeah.
There's precedent for both.
We'd have rules. We should have dignity in class.
We also let fighting games in too, so we've let everything in at this point. there's no restrictions on what a game is.
Sweet, I'm nominating a board game. It's happening.
Well, if there's a video game adaptation of the board game, Tony, we could do that. We did name this the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Vote against this.
As long as it's released before 2006, I'd hear you out.
Monopoly.
Okay, so we're going to ixnay Monopoly. Tony's done for the
year. No. That was not, that was not my nominee.
He doesn't even get to come back in November or December when we do this again. Like, nope, you nominated Monopoly. You lost your privileges for the year.
I don't see what's wrong with that.
So we could circle back on Chrono Trigger. I personally think that's a good choice. It's a well-regarded classic RPG that I find fun. Obviously, Earl does not, but...
I don't have any beef with it. I'm just like, I don't know if we need RPGs.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, general, like, we don't know if we need them as games.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
We all know where Earl stands now on role-playing games. Good to know. Unless it's a Xenoblade, right?
Yes, or what would have been my nominee, but we'll find that in back half of the year.
All right. I can kick things off. I am bringing Star Wars TIE Fighter to the table.
Ooh.
From 1994, the sequel to X-Wing. It's an improvement over X-Wing in every possible way. It has a story mode that, you know, actually has a decent story where you become like the wingmate of Darth Vader, which is kind of cool. It is kind of weird. You're looking back on it now, like, it's a whole game where you are flying for the Empire, a giant fascist regime. But it's
you don't know that. That's Sander. They could be good guys.
True.
They're trying to defend America. Wait, no. I got things crossed. Sorry,
they
guys.
Could be good guys, although there's missions where it's like, oh no, there's refugees on there that are aligned with the rebels. Blow them up.
Oh god. Oh.
Like, so you do some bad shit as a Empire pilot in this game, but the Empire were not good guys. I don't think that was ever really in question, but just in case.
Bad. Empire bad.
Yeah.
Bad. Very bad.
It is. It's an excellent game, though. It still plays great. Actually, you can map it to an Xbox controller and make it work quite well. You lose some slight functionality because those games were actual flight sims, so... You are controlling all your engines and everything, engines, shields, armaments. They were all controlled by different keyboard buttons at the time, which they simplified with. I'm drawing a blank on the game we played this fall, Squadrons.
Squadrons, yep.
But that's basically like the updated formula for this. TIE Fighter was a great game, so that's what I'm bringing to the table to get in. Who wants in next?
I'll go next because I totally fit my game ahead of this show tonight.
So long ago.
I actually did fit my game ahead of tonight. Thank you very much because it is a game.
Is it past midnight? I'm just wondering. Oh, sorry.
It is a game that deserves your respect. It is a game that deserves dishonor. And most of all, it's a game that takes it to the streets.
You're selecting Sonic Adventure?
I'm not selecting Sonic Adventure. I'm selecting Streets of Rage 2.
Oh, nice one.
Yes, I think it's... like I said, with Turtles in Time, I think that the beat-em-up is a genre that really, really does not get enough love.
Do we have to let beat 'em ups in? I don't think.
You know what, Jeff? We can kick you off the show right now.
It's a really bad genre, though. Like,
it is a phenomenal genre. It is a genre that I feel does not get enough of in this day and age because
it's true.
I mean, the sad thing is they were made for arcades, and I think as arcades have dwindled, it's been harder to kind of get people to nickel and dime themselves. But I've also said it before on this show, I think the modern day beat 'em up at the Musou game, Dynasty Warriors, Hyrule Warriors, Fire Emblem Warriors, whatever.
Yes.
But I think almost a year ago, I nominated Turtles in Time, and I nominated Turtles in Time partially because it's a beat 'em up, but partially because I have Ninja Turtles.
So, again, circling back, Jeff, there's already precedent for beat 'em ups in the Hall of Fame. So.
From me. But yes, I mean, much like Turtles in Time, I think Turtles in Time is phenomenal for the license that it is. I think Streets of Rage is kind of the apex of the classic 16-bit beat 'em up in terms of, like, one, the evolution from the first game, and, like, given all the characters, especially having the characters have unique attributes and stats and stuff like that, really kind of it. When you think about it, it's a game that does not have a lot of story, but it does a lot with what it does in terms of telling you this is a really messed up city, these are some really messed up people, and these guys are trying their best to make it a positive experience for everybody involved. Some great music, some great special effects. It's a highlight of the Sega Genesis. It's one of those games that I think once you get out of Sonic, I would imagine Streets of Rage is probably up there with games you'd mention as far as Genesis exclusives go. And yeah, that is why it's my nominee for Hall of Fame.
It's similar to Jeff, I don't love beat 'em ups, but Streets of Rage 2 is a really good one.
Yes,
it's the king.
Yeah. Streets of Rage 4, very good as well, though.
Yes, and I think Streets of Rage 4 is one of the reasons I wanted to nominate Streets of Rage 2, because it just reminded me of, like, yeah, this is a really phenomenal franchise that I really don't see. I mean, it helps when there's, like, 20 years in between sequels that I don't think gets enough of. And again, I think, it is what it is. I understand. I understand what they are, but, like, I think beat 'em ups have really kind of died down because they are games, but I do think they are, honestly, I think Streets of Rage 4 and Battletoads, to a lesser extent, exemplify what they need to be. They are digital titles. They are titles you get for $15 or $20 and you play through several times, but you can beat them in one sitting.
Yeah, I think Streets of Rage 4 and Battletoads are good examples of how that genre has to evolve to today's standards. Really hope what's the new Turtles one? Shredders. Can't draw a blank. The new
Shredder's Revenge.
Yes, I'm hoping that one comes out and is, you know, follows soon. A similar fashion.
Yeah, I'm still sad. I mean, I don't think we were talking about this last week. That was my, like, one E3 wish, is that somebody would have it at their press conference. Like, it's out now, and it's not out now, so.
Damn it.
Screw you, because you said it's coming soon since February. It is now June. And it's not soon anymore. It's out the window of soon.
Agreed. All right, Jeff, Tony, what do you want to bring?
All right, I'm going to nominate an RPG. It's a legendary RPG. It's a sequel to another RPG. It's a fantastic game.
No, Tony, it's obviously Mass Effect.
No, it's Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
Oh, nice.
I think this is the game that kind of set off the whole deluge you got in the Xbox 360 era of open world games. It really, like, with that, I adore this game, but that opening where you're, like, escaping from the dungeon, with Sir Patrick Stewart, and, you finally get to the surface, and you open up the door, and you end up, like, with the blinding light, and then you end up in this, like, huge, beautiful, brilliant world, where you can go anywhere and do whatever you want. It was just kind of like that fantasy wish fulfillment type game. We could go out and be whatever you wanted to be, and it was just like that kind of open experience. And you've seen so many games since then, even including Skyrim, try to recapture that. and yeah, it's been really hard.
it does it in a way, like, so, you know, that was Bethesda's thing, right? Like Oblivion's the fourth of the Elder Scrolls games. But Morrowind and Daggerfall are like way too open and unstructured.
Yeah.
And Oblivion has just enough structure that it makes it so much better.
The technology had finally gotten to the point where the dungeons didn't all have to be randomly generated when you walked in.
Yeah.
So they could like literally design parts of the world that hadn't been designed before. There were a lot of other cool elements, though. I missed this in Skyrim. This is the thing that I hated in Skyrim. It needed to be there. There was a spell designer in Oblivion. You could literally, like... I built a spell that would literally make my character invisible for 30 minutes of real time in the real world. and you could also, like... I spent a lot of the game playing. Like, I played as a wizard who could conjure a massive, massive creature... and then disappear for half an hour while that creature fought everybody in the room.
All right, well, deal with my troll. I'm out.
That's right. Occasionally you'd run into somebody who has one of those rings that can see, like, invisible people. And I'd be, oh, fuck, what do I do now? I don't know. But the game was super cool. Like, you were literally, like, on a quest right there for ultimate power. And how can I build this spell that makes me invincible? Within the world, without, like, cheating, like, literally, like, just trying to figure out how can I, like, walk through this world and make my character super badass. And I love that. I love that about the game. And there are so many other cool things about it. The world was so big, and there was so much to do, and it just... And it was, like, the cutting edge of that. It was, like, the first game that did that.
Yeah, and, you know, excellent side quest writing, and... Just
yeah,
really good, really smart.
And the main quest too. I think the main quest in Skyrim is forgettable. But like, if you get to the end of Oblivion, you're like, "Fuck! I can't believe that happened at the end." It's great, great.
All right, excellent choices here, Jeff. That leaves you.
Yeah.
What is sliding into the Hall of Fame?
It's been in between two games for me all day, and I was not decided. I'm still not decided. I'm just going to choose one. So, let me take you back to the year 2004. I was fucking drunk. Off in college.
Jeff was drunk.
Yeah, and working as a pizza delivery driver.
Was past tense.
Huh?
Why was it past tense?
What was, you know, 17
well, now
years
I'm
ago,
fucking
right?
off, not in college.
But you're still drunk.
Yeah.
All right, it's 2004, you're a pizza delivery man.
We've heard this for Jeff already. He's like, I'm trying to make a point, guys. You keep interrupting me.
Yeah, so I was working as a pizza delivery driver. I had this fancy little handheld, the GBASP. Mm. And the Game Boy Advance SP is probably the only handheld I'd ever really gotten into. And largely it was because of this game, Mario Golf Advance Tour.
Timely.
Yeah. But
I just figured it a different way.
Which way?
Well, I figured there was a new franchise, there's a revival of a franchise announced last week at E3. The S game in the series on the GBA, so
never played it.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, I was really into Mario Golf Advance Tour. I think it was like the first sports game I played that felt like an RPG where like you had a character and you were building up their stats. I'm sure there was like ones before that. But I, you know, one, I don't play a ton of sports games. This is like kind of my first encounter with that. I think it's kind of like the peak of Mario Sports for me because of that. Like, it's just, I don't know. It was like a actually really deep sports game on the GBA that like you could totally pass the hours with while you're at work or whatever, like on downtime. When you're a pizza delivery driver, there's a lot of downtime.
How was the actual golf, like, you know, because it's
It's Mario Golf. Like, it's the meter where you hit the A button and then you hit it again when it comes back down for accuracy. It actually looked good for like what, like, it looked better than you would have expected.
Yeah, that's what I was
And
getting at.
it had like, again, when I say it's like RPG, it's basically you had like a town where there's like a pro shop and you could just, between playing courses or whatever, like you were leveling up, like, getting new equipment, leveling up your stats. I don't know. It's a fantastic, like, it's one of my favorite, like, I've put it in my top three golf games probably.
Nice. That the GBA Mario Sports games were fantastic. Like I never played, I did not play Advanced Tour, but I played the tennis game. It seems very similar to what you're explaining here. Like, the deep RPG mechanics, like you're leveling up your created character.
Camelot used to know how to make a really good Mario sports game, just saying.
Well, again, it doesn't seem like the sports game they made is bad. It just seems that it's lacking content. That's what I got from reviews. I could be wrong.
I think for me, if this new one has a campaign that is kind of not great again, like that's what I from that Mario Tennis game on the GBA, that was what was so cool about it, was that RPG campaign kind of had a story to it. And it was like an early sports RPG. I don't think anybody's probably complaining about the actual golf in the new Mario Golf, right? Like,
No, the golf is fine. It's just, but yeah, I don't know. They fucked up that story mode in Mario Tennis, like the last Mario Tennis, and it's like it sounds like they kind of did. Hopefully, not as bad with this. Again, it's like, what the fuck, dude? You knew how to do it. You had it in 2004 on a fucking handheld. It was great. Shoo-in for Hall of Fame.
Mario Golf Advanced Tour then. The listener suggestion was Chrono Trigger. So I'm gonna pencil that in unless there's an objection to Chrono Trigger. Has anybody here besides me played Chrono Trigger?
I've tried it.
Yeah, I have not finished it or gotten very far, I don't think.
I will say, it was back in the heydays of the late 90s when I was getting into emulators and stuff like that. And that always kind of sucked because it just always meant that I tried games and if I didn't get into them in like 5 minutes, I would just move on because it's free and you can do that.
Yep, and there's, you'd pr at that point you probably downloaded like the entire Super Nintendo collection, so you had all of them available to you, and
Yep.
yeah, that was definitely an issue with emulation the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, it's part of the problem with Game Pass to a degree. It's like, oh, this isn't capturing me. I'm done, moving on. Like, you don't really have the investment into playing it. Chrono Trigger is great though. If you guys ever decide you do want to go back to it, has a really cool story. The gameplay is actually pretty decent, like even today. It's different from your standard just turn-based combat. And the enemies are like out in the world, so you can avoid combat if you need to. Fun stuff. Time travel.
I did play it when I was a little kid. I remember, like, because, like, I did not. It's turn-based, right?
Yes. Well,
Yeah.
yes. I mean, it is that active time battle that Square was known for at that time. So like, your guys have like a meter that fills up, and when their meter fills up, they can go.
Okay.
So it's not just like, oh, you take your turn, they take their turn. Like, depending
Okay.
upon your characters have different stats, so some of them could get two turns in a row or stuff like that. But yes, it is turn based
Yeah,
in that sense.
Like, I did not understand that type of gameplay when I was a kid. I was like, why would you do this like this? Like, you know, what the fuck is this? But I did. I remember I did play through a decent amount of that one when I was a kid. Must have had it on a rental, like, from Blockbuster or something. And I remember, like, one, like, really liking the graphics as a kid, and two, like, getting into the story, like, you know, that whole, like, time travel element of it. I was like, whoa, like, that's so cool. Like, but yeah, I think that's probably the first thing I was when I was a kid. I've tried it as an adult, and I'm just like, yeah, I can't go back. But I'm not going to deny someone from entering it. Shit, I'll never not nominate it, and, you know, it feels like it should be in a Hall of Fame, so.
Well, there we go. Our first half of the class of 2021, Star Wars TIE Fighter, Streets of Rage 2, The Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, Mario Golf, Advanced Tour, Chrono Trigger, and the March Madness video game tournament winner over Mass Effect 2.
I was going to say before we confirm all of it, is there any objections?
I don't have any objections to any of these. I think they're all pretty good.
Aside from Resident Evil 2 defeating Mass Effect 2, because that can't be
overturned.
But the right game won that night.
I
much like the 2020 election, anything can be overturned. Wait,
but it's
going to happen in August. That's when Resident Evil is not going to be in the Hall of Fame anymore, Tony. And that's when you can put Mass Effect 2 in August. I really like Earl's idea of us doing a Game of the Year tournament sometime in the back half of the year. So, Tony, you can bring Mass Effect 2 again there.
Just to watch it be defeated once more.
Now, Earl is just like, he has it in his
Earl
mind.
Earl has some sort of vendetta against me, yeah. Earl. We're going to have words after the show's over.
I've got no vendetta. I'm just saying that, like, you know, other games might be more deserving. I mean, these are all top-notch games.
They will all be Game of the Year nominations, so. Or Game of the Year winners that we chose for ourselves.
Exactly. So these are all, like, none of these are losers. They are all winners in our books. It's just going to be, like, one ultimate winner. And it may or may not be Mass Effect 2. It could be Batman. It could be Spider-Man.
Those games don't exist after Mass Effect 2.
It could be Pac-Man. You never know. You never know. So I would love it if we did this and, like, the Game of the Year nominee was, like, a Pac-Man game.
I mean,
Chris is like, yes.
I will guarantee you that one of the ones I put in the bracket will be Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Oh yeah, I'm sure of it. It would just be, like, funny if, like, it came to, like, down to, like, Pac-Man and
Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect and Pac-Man 1. See?
Tony's gonna start throwing stuff at us.
Like, the next episode, Tony's going, like, I quit this podcast.
You guys are assholes. All right. Well, there we go. That's the Hall of Fame. First half. We'll have more in the back half of this year. Next week, you know, not that Earl and Jeff have not been drinking over the last month, but next week is our annual 4th of July don't drink PSA, where we drink, and that's the evidence.
Next week's the drinking episode.
Yes.
Oh. Damn it.
Yeah.
It's the official. I thought it was
these past, like, 50 episodes where the drinking
I'll episode. See if I can put myself through it again for you guys.
Should get Fozzie's bell.
I was going to say the one disappointing thing this year is that 4th of July is a Sunday, which means we'll drink. I mean, I don't know about you folks. We'll drink on Thursday, and have to go to work on Friday.
Yeah, and then you get work Friday and Saturday. Fucking lame.
I have Thursday and Friday off, and Monday off.
I have Monday off.
I have Monday off.
So yes, I have no problem. Like tonight, like Thursday. I mean, even like I calling it spade a spade. Even before the pandemic, Thursdays are always just like this one day I could go to work hungover. Now that my work is literally next to my bed, it's like even easier to go to work hungover. Not that I go to work hungover, and we'll explain why you don't go to work hungover next week on our non-drunk PSA 4th of July episode.
Yes.
Wow.
All right. We'll be back then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.